Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Rounding third base, 8-year-old Dalton's leg began to hurt. Despite over 3 years of treatment, including chemo and amputation and multiple clinical trials and surgeries, Dalton, or D, passed away at 12 years old from cancer. His parents and Giant fans, Jen and Will, formed Defeat Cancer to help discover targeted treatments and help kids like Dalton and the 16,000 American kids diagnosed with cancer each year. 100% of donations to Defeat Cancer directly fund pediatric cancer research. Please help us at www.defeatcancer.org. That's www.DFEETcancer.org. Thank you.
Sundays are Giants days.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Week one almost here. Unbelievable. The first game is 2 days away. I'm on location, folks. I will say for the first time in 20 years, I'm off the week after Labor Day because my last kid is in college. So now I'm not tethered to high school or grammar school. That's why you see this behind me instead of anything Giants. But yeah, man, unbelievable. The week one is here. We're going to continue, you know, the final top 10 countdown for the top 100 Giants. And obviously we have the Moose himself coming on our show, Mark Melusis of WPIX and WFAN. But Chris, I know, look, you know, we say this a lot and we can't believe summer's, you know, can't believe camp's here. Can't believe the draft's here. But really, man, with this weather hitting really like today, right? Like it's cooler now and it just feels like football. Oh, and by the way, my Fighting Irish won Sunday, Chris. I was pretty psyched about that too, I should add.
Yeah, he did. Your Fighting Irish did win Saturday.
That's right.
It wasn't pretty, but we'll take it.
Know what, dude? Can I say this? I don't know as much about you as college football, but I give him credit that they played Texas A&M. Like I just see like Ole Miss playing Furman and winning 76-0. And I know those schools get money, but I'm just like, really? Yeah. I don't know. Like that's lame, isn't it?
Yeah. The first few weeks of the season is so many schools like, come on, give me a break. You know, these three schools. A lot. I think Ole Miss has three softies coming up before they start playing real football. But no, it was a great week. Look, I didn't realize, Jerry, they actually had it the 12th man there in College Station. They actually had that rated as the toughest school to play in, the toughest, the toughest college. Which I thought maybe they would be the top five, but I did not think they would be number one. I was a little surprised by that, considering some of these like Penn State or some of these other places that were really loud. But
yeah,
It is crazy there, and yeah, it was a very nice win for the Fighting Irish.
I watched the whole game. I was into it.
Yeah, exciting game. Usually a game that we lose with Brian Kelly was here, but now we kind of turn the tide a little bit on that. So
my wife asked me about that. She goes, "What's the deal with this Brian Kelly?" I'm like, "Oh, don't ask any Notre Dame fan. My father couldn't stand him. Any Notre Dame fan can't stand Brian Kelly.
We all couldn't stand Brian Kelly.
Because there's a big thing of him pounding his fist and he's all over.
He lost another big game. What do you expect? It's Brian Kelly. But no, it was a great win. And Jerry, you're right. I actually was at the stadium today and it was actually a chill because we were standing in the shade today and it was like, wow, this feels like the end of October a little bit, but obviously it got warmer, but it has that feel in the air.
Yeah.
September after Labor Day, and Sunday's the first game of the year, and it definitely feels like football this week, man.
Yeah,
considering the weather we had the last few months. So, and you could feel it in the locker room today, dude. You could feel it in the locker room. It was like a little bit of a buzz today. Daniel had a little bit of a buzz to him. He's healthy. He's a couple of days away. And all that. So you could feel Dory Jackson back in the locker room today, like you never missed a beat.
Yeah.
And some other guys, talking to some other guys, you could just feel like, okay, we're ready to go. We started this end of July, somebody notified Notre Dame. Get me on
Richie
their payroll.
Richie M. says the Irish insider,
Get me on their payroll, So like talking to some of the guys saying you could just feel the buzz, talking to Jermaine Illuminor, and guys are ready to roll. They're ready to roll. Dables, you can see he's ready to roll. He's fired up. This is something that really hasn't been brought out this week. I might put it on X tomorrow or something. I'm going to talk it over with you, Jerry. Don't think John Mara doesn't want this win a little extra special too, because Brian Flores is the one that sued him. Okay.
Oh, that's I didn't even think of that. Wow. Yeah.
Brian Flores is the one that brought the lawsuit, basically insinuating that Mara is a racist. Okay, the drama that happened a couple of years ago. So I don't think John doesn't want this one, even though he's not the head coach, obviously, but he is a defensive coordinator. He is back in the building and all that stuff. So a little game, a little story within a story there, right? So, but like Dable said, I think Dable, he was asked today about the 100-year anniversary and all that stuff. And there's so much going on this weekend, Fan Fest Friday night. And Dable said, look, I love all this stuff. I've embraced all this, but we have a job to do. And our focus is on the Minnesota Vikings. And he didn't mean any disrespect to the Giants, Banks, Taylor. He mentioned them today. But he's focused, right? We're focused. Now, it's game week. The other stuff, he's kind of said in today, like, yeah, I'm calling the plays. He kind of mentioned it today, why am I even being asked? Everybody knows I'm calling the plays. Okay, yeah, I'm calling the plays. We all know Dable is going to be calling the plays. I said it back in April. Dable's going to be calling the plays. And obviously, we all saw with him. From the OTAs on, no surprise, he's calling the plays. You made it official today. Okay, now it's official. He's calling the plays. So, and we're ready to roll. So, we'll talk about the Vikings later. We'll have Moose on, see what he feels about this, the Giant team, and all that soon. But 1 o'clock Sunday, right, Jerry? It gets rolling. The Daniel Jones stuff, all the other stuff, this stuff. We start getting some answers Sunday.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Real quick, I just want to call out JJN300. Fellas, happy about Adoree being back. Tad confused about him returning punts. What are your thoughts? These wide receivers have me excited. The pass rush, too. Hashtag G-Men. Thanks, JJN. You're the man. Excited about Adoree being back as well. It was almost like – Chris, Adoree coming back was almost like the most predictable – move that could have happened that no one was talking about for 3 months. Once it was clear that the second corner was, either McLeod or Flott, and it really wasn't kind of working out, and Adoree was still out there, it was kind of like, well, what are we doing? Let's just sign him. How bad can it be? I know, look, he's not, it's not like, cornerback two is locked down now, but it was almost like, this kind of makes a lot of sense. Let's just bring him back. So I was glad to see him come back. I mean, look, he's an upgrade over Flott and McLeod. And again, rooting for Flott and McLeod, hope they do well. But this just seemed like it made a ton of sense to me, dude.
Yeah, not to get off topic, but I'm thinking that sweatshirt you have on there, Jerry. What is that? Can I see that a little bit more? I'm kind of
Mammoth. Monmouth.
Oh, it's Monmouth. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see the letters at first. I just thought it was a regular gray sweatshirt. I kind of like it, though, dude. But anyway.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's my...
I'm extra large. I'm extra large. You can send one my way if you...
I will. I will. Okay. And I got it... That's where my third one's going now. So.
Yeah, well, I know that. Yeah, so you could you know, you got my address. Anyway, so... Yeah.
Oh, by the way, real quick, totally off topic, I'm glad you like DiLorenzo's.
Oh, dude, we'll cover that at the end.
All right, cool. That's fine.
Well, you know what? Moose is coming on in a few. We'll talk, and then we'll cover that at the end.
Okay, cool.
And how I rated that and your recommendation and a lot of other people. You told me about that place years ago. You said this, right? I remember.
Yeah.
So I finally, like an idiot, I finally got out. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Jerry. Sorry. Yeah.
Adoree, look, obviously, what does it tell you that they're not confident at all in Flott and McLeod's of the world? And they said, you know what? Could Adoree be worse? Let's get him back in. Nobody signed him. Adoree came out and told us yesterday that, it's been in the last few weeks. There's been talks back and forth with Shane and his agent. You know what I mean? And all that stuff. So they got him back in the building. Yeah. They'll start ramping him up. I don't know how much we will see of him Sunday. We'll see how much they ramp him up in practice this week. You know?
Yeah.
He could get some snaps on the outside. I could see it all the slot, whatever it might be. Or I should say on the outside because – Drew Phillips has basically got that slot locked up, from what I understand, what it looks like. So we'll see what happens with Adoree. Like you said, they didn't have strong camps, Flott, before he got injured, McLeod. And, they knew they needed somebody. He's out there still. Get him back in here, And we'll see what happens with Adoree. You know, he's not coming off a good year. He was okay,
Yeah.
But he is only eight still. He's still got some juice in those legs. And he admitted he did not have a good year last year, and he's expecting better things this year. Now, he's in a different system now with Shane Bowen. You know, obviously, Bowen's system and Wink's system is two different animals, So,
yeah.
We'll see how he does. You know, he's used – he knows Bowen from Tennessee,
Yeah.
So, and all that. So, we'll see how that works out. And from what I understand, we have the Moose Man waiting in the back. Let's get him in here. I know he's got a big draft night. I think he's got his big draft night at 9 o'clock tonight. So let's get the Moose Man.
What's going on, Chris? What's up, Jerry? Yeah, 9 o'clock. We have the
14.
It's been going on like 14, 15 years, the WFAN draft. A lot of guys that I work with over there. So it's great. Yes. It's great.
Is there a perennial winner every year or no?
No, there's like four keepers. I think Jastrzemski has got a pretty good team. I think there's been a range of different winners. My team has stunk for years, so it's been terrible. It's like one of those things, like if you've got four really good keepers, then you're set up for success. You really are. So it's an uphill battle because then you really have to hit with your rookie pick in order to have that individual be a keeper, have a really big rookie year and everything like that. So, but it's fun. Nice. It's all fun.
So folks, it's an honor to have on Mark Malusis, nicknamed Moose. WFAN host, Channel 11 on Channel 11 Sports, and does a great job. Jerry, I've talked about this with you, and me and Moose became friendly last few years. We talk a lot about, I respect people that don't fly off the handle, do their job, analyze, and then give their opinion or facts, whatever it might be. And Moose is excellent at all sports, man.
Especially hockey, because he's a great Rangers fan.
Yes, you got it, Jerry. This is the year. Sam's last season. I know this is giant football. Sam's last season. This has got to be the year they win the cup. No?
No, Moose. It was last year you had the chance to win the cup. I hate to tell you this, Moose, but there's a team over there at the Rock that kind of like beefed up that roster a little bit, buddy. You better watch out for them.
And
they got a goalie for the first time in a long time.
You're right. The Devils are going to be a pain in the rear end.
They might be a pain in your ass this year, Moose.
I don't think I agree with you. I don't think there's any doubt they are. They're going to have
Dougie Hamilton coming back, too. Hamilton back, too. It's huge.
No doubt.
Moose, listen, my man, thank you. Let's get into it. Let's talk Giants football, something you're very close to, all about. I guess, let's face it, Moose, one of the hot topics, subjects all damn summer is what? Daniel Jones, right? Most of the fan base, I know Moose, you feel it too, down. They don't think they could do anything with Daniel and all that stuff. Why even bring him back? Don't get him. How do you feel about Daniel, Moose? Can this guy get back to that 2022 second half look? And can he win some games for this team?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he will. I mean, I don't think everything's going to be hunky dory great with Daniel Jones, because that's not been his Giant career. That's not been his NFL career up until this point in time. And I understand, and Jerry, Chris, you guys hear this from Giant fans all the time as well. They're like, you know, Jones stinks. You can't win with him, or he doesn't elevate guys around him, or I'm just tired of talking about Daniel Jones, because I do think there comes a point where Giant fans, that's why they bought into DeVito and everything. It was a great story, but he was an easy guy to root for. Not saying DJ isn't. I think they've grown tired of the story of Daniel Jones. I think they've grown tired of the conversation about Daniel Jones. Well, you know, I go back 2 years ago, and, you know, you guys are around the organization, you know, on a day-in, day-out basis. You know, there were not a lot of people that thought Daniel Jones was going to have the 2022 season that he had. Writing on the wall, new regime. They never drafted him. They didn't draft him sixth overall out of Duke. This is going to be it for Daniel Jones. Didn't pick up the 50 or like all the stuff. Everything was there for that to be it for Daniel Jones. And he responded with a big time year. Now, statistically, was he dominant? No. I mean, he had 15 touchdown passes. I think he had 7 rushing touchdowns. So it's not like we're talking about a guy that accounted for, you know, 35 scores. But, you know, there was a lot to like about the way that Daboll and Kafka used him in that offense. And I think you're going to get to see him go out there and respond this year, because I think he knows, even though he got rewarded with the contract, the Giants can get out from underneath the contract after this season. It'll be interesting to see how this year plays out with the injury clause to that contract. If the Giants are not having a good year, you know, do they protect themselves long term so that money's not guaranteed? That comes into play. That's not part of the conversation now. Could it potentially be based on, you know, the expectations of the Giants this year? For sure. I'm rooting for him, because I do think some of it has been unjustified. I do think some of it has been justified. I think the criticism that comes his way, there's, you know, if you were feeling positive about Daniel Jones, that pick six he threw against the Houston Texans ended all positivity. And you're saying to yourself, how exactly, it's a preseason game, how exactly does Daniel Jones make that decision at that time? Sitting here, it's year six in the National Football League. And I can't defend it. Like, I can't. I don't know idea why he threw the football. I think he responds this year because I saw him respond 2 years ago. And I think he'll play well, and he's got playmakers. The interesting thing is he doesn't have his old running mate, and that being 26 Saquon Barkley, who's now an Eagle.
Moose, one last, Jerry, then you jump in there. Moose, you know, is the negativity around this team by the fan base, does it get to you a little bit?
Yeah, it does.
I listened to you on the radio, and we were texting a little bit back and forth. And I was like, oh, my. And I heard you say the negativity. Like, Moose, is it a little too much of negativity? Can we just play the game?
Can we get the game going? Yeah, I mean, Chris, I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it gets a little too much. Like, the Malik Nabers stuff, I think, is over the top. Like, Ray, you know, he asked about number one. John Mara contacted Ray Flaherty's family. Right. They, you know, whether it be, you know, begrudgingly, but eventually they said, yeah, you know what, let's do it. He can wear number one. It's going to be retired after Malik Nabers. You know, nobody will ever wear it again. But Giant fans calling up being upset about that, like, what's the big deal? Like, if the family said it's A-okay,
right?
Like, I don't really have all that big of an issue with it. Like, and you know, I hold retired numbers a little bit different in football than I do in Major League Baseball, but Flaherty is the first number to be retired in the history of the NFL. Like, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. But I think a lot of people have learned more about Ray Flaherty in the last 5 to 7 days than they probably ever knew.
Yeah, most never heard of Flaherty.
Right. I mean, they're like, myself included. I got to be perfectly honest with you. I had no idea he invented the screen pass. I found out he invented the screen pass. Like, there are things that, and it's great that he coached. He won 80 games as a football coach. Like, there's things. So, I think there's a lot of scars for the Giant fan. There's the scars of the end of Reese. There's the scars of Shermer, Gettleman, Joe Judge at the end. Then after year one, it was almost like, holy cow, we actually have a coach that knows what he's doing, has a game plan in Brian Daboll, and put this team in the best possible position to go out there and be successful. And then last year happened, and they were terrible. And it just brought back all those fears. Now you're looking at the team this year and you're saying, what exactly is this going to look like this year after what it looked like last year? So there's a lot of negativity. I get it. I think, you know, DJ being back at quarterback, I don't know if it would, I don't think it would be necessarily as negative if the Giants were able to move up and get, you know, Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Yeah. I don't think the negativity would be there. I think it's there because of what we went through and saw this Giant team go through. I think the failures in recent memory, and I think Daniel plays a massive role in that as well.
Moose, do you think this is the most talented team offensively, Saquon aside, that they've surrounded Jones with? Because the line looks functional for the first time in, I mean, I know it's preseason, but they look functional for the first time in about 14 years. And you have some weapons at the receiver now. Do you think, and I should also, part two of this question, if he gives you the numbers that he gave you 2 years ago, although they weren't that impressive, he was careful with the football, you know, can they make some noise this year if he gives you that kind of season?
Yeah, I think he's got to be a little bit better. And I think Dave McCollum plays, I think they're expecting him to be a little bit better. And I think more touchdowns. I think he's got to be in the 20s when it comes down to touchdown passes. Because here's the other thing, Jerry. Like, I don't know if they can run him like they did 2 years ago. Like, he's coming off a torn ACL. He suffered now two neck injuries. The Giants' offensive line last year gave up 85 sacks. Like, I think that's the interesting thing when you look at Jones is he's really an athletic specimen. Like, he's 6'5", runs like a gazelle, can throw. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that Daniel Jones – he's a unbelievably gifted athlete. But now how limited are they or how fearful are they? Because one of the reasons why they were interested in moving up in the draft is because, well, Jones is play, but also the other factor is – Jones's history of injuries. Can he stay healthy? The offensive line, I agree with you, Jerry. I think it's going to be better. To answer your question, I think with Daboll calling plays, with the additions they made to this offensive line, even with the loss of Saquon Barkley, I do think the receivers are the best quartet of receivers that Jones has had. When you look at Neighbors, Slayton, Wandell Robinson, and obviously Jalin Hyatt, and they can beat in a lot of different ways. And I think Daboll is going to be, you know, Chris, you and I were talking about it when I saw you out of camp. Like, I think Daboll is going to be really aggressive, you know, it's going to be about protecting the quarterback and trying to get the ball deep and getting it into the playmaker's hands.
Moose, why do you think Dave's decided to call plays? Why do you think he said, okay, this is,
he's good at it. You know, Chris, because he's good at it. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you know, and like we always talk about, like, control what you can control in life, right? Brian Daboll is a good offensive coordinator. He's a good play caller. He showed it, you know, look at when he took over for the Miami Dolphins with Tony Sperano. They went from 30th to 20th that 1 year, right? Went to Alabama as their offensive coordinator, worked with Tua and Jalen Hurts. And won a national championship, went up to Buffalo, called plays, developed Josh Allen. He knows how to call plays. And you know what? It's got to look a certain way, not taking anything away from Mike Kafka. And he could have left to become an offensive coordinator in the offseason. They made him assistant head coach. But, you know, Brian Daboll, 14 of the 17 offensive-minded head coaches in the National Football League call their own plays. There's only like three guys that don't. Harbaugh out in Los Angeles with the Chargers isn't. There's a couple others. But Daboll said, I've gone through this for 2 years. He took it over last year, as we all saw in certain stretches. Wouldn't admit it after the game, but we all watched it on camera. And now he's going to do it because, you know what? He's good. And this is a big year for him after everything that transpired a year ago.
All right, guys. So we're going to take a break real quick. Be right back after this. You'll listen to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple. With doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
And we're back. Folks, listen to the John Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the Biz Ignano, and our special guest, Mark Malusis, the Moose. All right, Chris, go ahead. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, Moose, it's not – to be a real good coordinator isn't just like, okay, we're going to call this play. You know, it's getting a feel of what's going on during the game. What the defense is doing, attacking you. Sticking with certain things. Like you see, Moose, all the time, every year – a team might be running the ball well, a coordinator gets away from it for some stupid reason. I used to see what Pat Sherman used to drive me freaking crazy, okay? Dable, his Buffalo days, and the way, especially look at that Chiefs game that they should have won.
Yes.
Championship game. And watch what Dable does calling plays. He has a great feel during the course of a game. What should we call at certain times? What's working? What might not be working and all that. That's why this move, I think, is just going to be huge for Daniel. I really do.
Oh,
I don't know how you feel. You know, I know people might be like, well, Chris, you know, you still got to throw the ball. Guys got to get open. But you don't really – Moose, you know, like, talk about it a little bit, how big of an offensive – a really good offensive coordinator and the way he feels during the course of the game helps a quarterback.
Well, no doubt. And it's all about timing, preparedness, putting together a game plan, structuring, the first couple of series, playing to the strengths of your quarterback, what they can do, what they can't do, understanding what the defense is going to call. I mean, all of that, and a guy that's had a vast amount of experience in Daboll over the course of his career, whether it be, I mean, just look at his stops. You know, I mentioned a few, Miami with the Dolphins, Alabama, Kansas City, New England, obviously, up with the Patriots. Like, he's had a vast amount of experience and has worked with a number of different quarterbacks of different skill sets and different abilities. I think you hit upon it, Chris. I think when we saw all of this development throughout the course of training camp, if you're Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll is a better play caller than Mike Kafka. And Brian Daboll is going to put Daniel Jones in the best possible position to be successful. And whatever Jones has this year, I think Daboll is going to get it out of him. So if you're a Giant fan, I think this is a step in the right direction. Instead of taking the play calling duties over in the second quarter or third quarter when the game's not going right, second half against Arizona, whatever it might be,
right,
you're doing it from the word go. And I think for Jones, I think this is the best thing that could happen to him.
What do you think happened last year with Kafka? Because 2 years ago, we weren't really complaining about Mike Kafka calling plays, right? And I'm psyched Dable's doing it this year. But was it just that the season just unraveled so quickly and they couldn't?
Too much. I mean, Jerry, I think it was just too much. The offensive line couldn't block. They were pulling guys off the street. They gave up 85 sacks. You know, Jones gets hurt. Taylor gets hurt. You're to Tommy DeVito as your starting quarterback. Then there was
Andrew Thomas.
What? Yeah. I mean, Andrew and so. Thomas. Yeah, so you look at, you look at everything that happened a year ago. I think it became a little bit too much. And I think, now, Kafka probably learned from it. And I think he'll probably learn from it as a player with Daboll taking over as for play calling duties. But I think last year it wasn't just the play calling from Kafka. Like, that's the one thing that you can't think about. Like, it wasn't just him. I think Daboll is just a better play caller. This is a scenario where the injuries last year, lack of talent, lack of quality offensive linemen really curtailed anything the Giants could do offensively.
Moose, do you like Daboll as a head coach? Do you think he's the right man for this organization?
I do. I'd like to see him show a little bit more personality. I mean, I do. I mean, I'd like to see him loosen up a little bit. Like, he's, it's hard for him to kind of let loose a little bit, Chris. And you see that more on a day in, day out basis than I do. But and I get it's tough. I get you want to be protective and, the inner circle and the Belichick way and all that. And not saying that he's just prototypical Bill Belichick, because he's not. You see a little bit of that personality at times. But sometimes I think it's okay to smile and stuff. Do I think he's a good coach? I do. Do I think last year, with everything going on in his coaching staff with Wink, and not everybody pushing in the same direction at times, do I think that probably wore on him as the season went along? For sure. I think Daboll's more of the coach we saw year one. Giants were prepared. Giants had a great game plan. He put guys in a position to be successful and gave this team opportunities to win games.
Right.
I think that's more Brian Daboll than what we saw last year. And I think that's more indicative of what you're going to see year number three as compared to what we all witnessed year number two. Where I like to see a little bit more personality, for sure, but that's just not his way. He's not going to rip any jokes or anything like that. Like, it's just not his way, but I like to see that a little bit more, for sure.
And you know what, Moose? He's a funny dude. He really is. He's got a great personality when you get off to the side. And you get to know him, but, and when the lights go on, the media, and the cameras, and, I was even taught, even when he does his weekly segments with Bob Papa, Bob told me, he goes, he's a great guy, but, as soon as those cameras go on, he just,
Yeah, I think he's. Oh, yeah. And like, that's the thing, Chris. I don't think he's a bad guy. Like, from everybody that knows him well, like yourself and others that have been around him, they say he's a great guy. Like, enjoys a good cigar, like, you know, enjoys, you know, and all those things. And he's got a great personality. I think, it's unfortunate, but I think there's some coaches in the National Football League that look at the media, especially when the lights go on, as more like they're not helping, they're going to hurt.
Adversarial.
Yeah, more, yeah, if you give them anything. So I'm not going to give you anything. There's no expectations for the year. On to the next opponent. Like everything that you get to you know, you're not even going to be, aside from hearing from him, you don't really get all that much from the head coach.
No, I've kind of accepted it now, Moose, being around 3 years. That's just the way it's going to be. And I know it's frustrating and stuff like that, but what are you going to do? This is the way, you know, even today, you know, he was asked about calling plays, and he just said, yeah, I'll be doing it. Like, you know, instead of like, you know, I'll be calling the plays, and we're going to see what – he was just like, yeah, I'll be doing it. You know what I mean? That's just the way he is. You know,
it's
frustrating, but that's the way he is.
How do you think Kafka's taking this news?
Well, I don't think Mike was happy, you know, so they threw him that assistant title thing. But obviously he wasn't happy, Mike. Let's face it, you're calling the plays and the coach basically tells you, you're not really good enough to call plays anymore. I'm going to do it now. I've done it and all that. That's, you know, I mean, you could spin it any way you want it, but Dable was like, okay, I'm 100% confident. Mike, he'll still be calling the plays and Dable will be playing that CEO role to the fullest, but take it over. I always say, look, Moose, Dable's not coaching for his job this year. Okay. It would have to be an absolute disaster, losing a locker room, all that stuff for him to lose, because John Mara and Tish really, really like Shane and Dable. So he's not coaching for his job or anything like that. But we all know how hot it could get around here real quick. So I always said when we all knew he was going to call plays, I like to refer to like the Titanic a little bit. We're like, well, if this ship's going to go down, I'm going to be the captain, you know what I mean, of this ship that's going down, not somebody else calling the plays for me.
Right, before it's too late. I think you'd have to go. I mean, Jerry, sorry to interrupt you. I think you'd have to go like unbelievably bad for that to be part of the question, part of the conversation at the end of the year. Like the Giants would have to win 2 or 3 games this year and look, you know, look like they're just poorly coached, similar to the way it looked at the end for Joe Judge. Right. Like that became untenable. Like you couldn't come back from that after, you know, when you're running the veer against Washington and you have the presser against Chicago, like it's over for Joe Judge. Like, I don't think we're going to get there this year. I know the win total for the Giants coming into it will be 6.5, but like Mara craves stability. He wants, you know, to
he's
move
tired of, tired of the coaching carousel, man. Tired
yeah, no
of it.
Question.
It
and that, and that doesn't lead to success. I mean, you know, he just looks in the family, looks over at the Steelers and looks at what they do. So, you know, I think unless it looks untenable, like you cannot move forward, I think the Giants are going to be moving forward following this season. Like, I don't think Dable's job is on the line. I don't think Joe Shane's job is on the line.
Moose, John Mara last year was watching very carefully in the end of that season because – there was things going on with, you know, with the coaches and stuff like that. We all know the drama. Who's making phone calls outside the building? Who's ratting on this one? You know, who's being confronted by Dable? Then they're denying it that he even made phone calls. Everybody knows they did. You know, we don't want to get into it, the whole wink nonsense again. But Mara was watching very closely about how players were responding to losing under Dable and if they were still busting it. And they were, Moose. I was in that locker room, Moose.
Yeah.
And those guys played hard to the final buzzer, okay? They didn't win games. We know what happened last season. But Dable did not lose the locker room, which was huge, okay, in eyes of people upstairs. They kept playing for him, the players, and they kept vouching for him. They kept saying – and there was guys asking players in the locker room, so what about this? And they were dying to get the answer, like, well, you know, well, Dable, I don't know. He's rolling – Moose, I've been around – where guys were rolling their eyes back in the Pat Shurmur days.
Yeah.
Joe Judge got, you know, he asked a question about this game plan or this play call, and Moose, they would go like this to me. Yeah. And Jerry, I'll tell you, because I used to report it on the podcast, you know, I had guys, you know, I remember asking a specific, a sequence of plays
when Pat Shurmur was here towards the end of the season,
yeah,
and a veteran went like this to me. Oh, like that. It was Moose. When I saw that, I told Jerry, I said, dude, it's over. The locker room is gone. None of that last year. And Dable did not want to get what was going on with him and a couple of coaches and all that nonsense that hit the papers. Everybody knew what was going on. Did not want that to seep into the locker room. And it didn't. Okay. And that was huge. Now, of course, the bottom line, Moose, is you have to win games. This is a production business. But I'm just telling you, from that point of view, as far as their coach, he's coaching for his job, you know, or whatever it might be. Like, you know, if he doesn't win, you know, and all that stuff, he's gone. That is not the case right now. I could tell you that right now. It would have to be a lot of different things for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm curious if it, you know, like, just kind of thinking out loud, does it ever reach a point where, you know, if Daniel's really struggling and he continues to start, does that change the perception in that locker room? Like, what could be points where you have guys, Chris, that you go at the end of the year and they start to roll their eyes? I mean, I would imagine the quarterback, you know, would be one of those points, even though I didn't get a sense, you know, being out there, you know, a couple of days this year that the guys don't like DJ. Got a sense that they really like Daniel Jones.
Oh, they love him.
Yeah, and they're going to play hard for him. He's a dude.
Oh, they love Daniel.
Yeah,
they love him,
and he's their guy. But I'm curious if things don't go right, is that a point of contention or anything like that? Like, I think I think anybody that's writing that Dable's job is on the line is just writing stuff that's clickbait. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, even if that happens with Jones, though, like, I almost think Dable has a defensive, he's not my quarterback. He hasn't drafted his guy yet, right? He inherited him, tried to make it work, and it hasn't. So I'm not saying two wins. I agree with you that if it's two wins, it could be disastrous. But even four or five, it's kind of a fallback for him.
Well, right. And Jerry, then if you have, okay, so if you go four or five, how does it look within those four or five? Like, do you have games that you lose? How many games do you lose by one possession? How many games do you lose by, you know, do you lose a couple games, heartbreaking fashion, late field goal beats you, something like that? Like, how does it look? Like, it's one thing to win five games and say go 5-12, and you know those losses and those 12 losses, everything's by double digits. You're getting your doors blown off. You're non-competitive. Like, how does it look in those games? Are you raising the level going up against quality competition? I think the start on Sunday, I think this is a game the Giants got to. I mean, they're home celebrating the 100th anniversary.
Got to win.
Got to win the game. It's Sam Darnold at quarterback. It's not a great Viking team. You know, I think they got a really good head coach. I think he's, you know, it's a shame what happened with J.J. McCarthy. Justin Jefferson is a tremendous wide receiver. Addison's a really good wideout. Now you have, you know, Jones coming over from Green Bay to run the football for the Minnesota Vikings. They have a good offensive line. But this is a one where I would imagine Burns, Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, Bobby Okereke, they're licking their chops going up against Sam Darnold, who's, you know, a really good athlete, but a really slow decision maker when you look at his results as a quarterback in the NFL and as a penchant for turning the football over. Go win the game.
You just named four of the seven front seven. Is that what you would be most excited about, Moose, if you're a Giants fan, like the front seven?
Yeah, because I grew up when I was going to Giant Stadium, and like, I think no one's Lawrence Taylor, right? But you thought about Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Gary Reasons, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Leonard Marshall, George Martin. You know, you thought about, and I know the football's changed, but the Giants were defined by, you know, their offensive line and were defined by their defensive line. You know, that's what helped define them, even with the Tyree catch in 07, even with the Manningham catch in 11. You know, it was really the Giant defensive line and their offensive line. They got to get back to it. So, yeah, I'm excited. Like, yeah, I think in today's day and age, especially when to help out, we'd be talking, you know, and I know the Giant just signed Dory Jackson, and he wasn't particularly good last year. Banks is good. Rest of the secondary, highly questionable when you look at it. If you can create pressure and generate pressure up front, that can negate some of the issues, not all the issues, but some of the issues when you're looking at the back end of that secondary. And I'm excited to see Lawrence is an unbelievable defensive lineman. Unbelievable. And Brian Burns and Thibodeau, I think, are going to be a dynamic duo together. I think it's going to be fun. And Okereke is a guy that, you know, gets it. 1 year out of Indianapolis, he was a tackling machine, played all the time last year. There's nothing not to like about Bobby Okereke, but I'm really excited about those three up front.
And Okereke, real quick, Chris, if you can play linebacker position well here, you're worshipped. I mean,
oh, no doubt. Know, absolutely.
The history of linebackers, forget it.
So. Yes, 100%. I mean, Jesse Armstead. I mean, you go up and down the line. Like, I mean, Antonio Pierce. I
Moment
mean,
of silence. Those guys, Jesse Armstead.
Yeah.
Loved him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, incredible. Moose, leads me to two things. One, when I was at the Jet-Giant practice last week, the joint practice, talking to a Jets beat writer, and he said to me, we'll talk about, you just mentioned Dex, you know, and he was telling me, Chris, after last year's game, he said the three guys up front on the offensive line said nobody is better than Dexter Lawrence in this league. Nobody. They all said, all three guys on the Jets offensive line, the center. The hell's his name? Who played center for them last year? The kid. Joe Tippmann. Yeah, he said that guy is phenomenal. And the other guys on the line were like, there's nobody better than that guy in this league. That's how dominant he was up front last year, how much praise he gets from opponents. Dexter Lawrence, boy. The other thing is, I guess you kind of answered it maybe, but what's your biggest concern on this team, Moose?
I think it's the secondary.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, but I think, like, everyone talks about it, I think, and they bring in, you know, work him out the other day, Dory Jackson, they're bringing him out, bringing him back and signed him. They're looking for something to try and help out the cause because, you know, McKinney was a big loss at the safety spot. You know, they addressed it in the draft, but let's be honest, you know, and the Giants were never going to pay him $17 million a year, what he got from the Green Bay Packers, but the Packers are also in a different situation from the Giants, having swung and missed on so many guys that they drafted in that defensive secondary over the years, and McKinney's a really good player. You know, Banks is good at one corner spot. The rest of it is a really work in progress, and the cornerback spot is concerning. I think they probably look at Adoree Jackson and say, well, he had success, you know, against Justin Jefferson, but we'll see. I think that's the big issue when you look at the Giants. I think the offensive line is going to be better. Front's going to be better. I love the playmakers at the wide receiver position. Step back at running back. I mean, let's be honest. I don't care if you didn't think Saquon Barkley was worthy of being the number two overall pick. He's a better running back than Devin Singletary, so it's a step back there. Can you still be able to run the football? Yeah, if the offensive line up front goes out there and does its job. The second one would be the quarterback, the most important position in the NFL outside the secondary, about what Daniel Jones. I'm going to be a little bit more bullish on Jones and say I think he bounces back and has a good year this year because I think he realizes – I would imagine all the naysayers, the fact that the Giants tried to move up in the draft to go get somebody, all of that has to drive him. He's making a lot of money. He understands his Giant career is on the line. I think Daniel Jones, he responded 2 years ago. I think he'll respond again this year.
Yeah, Moose, being around Daniel, I reported this. You know, 2 years ago, he played well, wins a playoff game. He kind of had that fire in him like, okay, I'm going to show you guys. You don't want to pick up my fifth year? Watch this, okay? We all know what happened. He played pretty well. Being around Daniel this year, I sense that same chip and fire. We're like, okay, you guys went out. You went out, tried to get a quarterback and all this. Well, I'm going to show you what I'm really made of. That's what we're all hoping. I'm not saying that's going to happen, Moose, but being around Daniel as much as I've been around him for 6 years now, I sense that in him. Like he has that chip, that huge chip of, I'm going to show you guys what I'm really made of. You guys went out to try to get Drake May, but watch this. But we'll see, like everything else.
Well, then then there's going to be some, Chris, they're going to look at it and say, okay, so what? I still don't think he's particularly good.
Well, Moose, by you being bullish on him a few minutes ago, saying I think he's going to have a pretty good year, not many people probably like, oh, this guy's nuts. You know what
I know. If anything, it makes me feel better. I'm like, okay, good, because I'm more the other way. I'm like, dude, you got to show me something. When you said that pick six, I just started laughing because that's just in my head. I can't get that pick six out of my head.
You can't defend it. Like you can't defend it.
No, indefensible.
Like, I mean, it's just an indefensible throw, and it's one of those at this stage, you can't be making that decision even in the preseason, even with all the rust. So, I think it would motivate anybody. I don't think there's any doubt, regardless of how much money you're making, when people are doubt your ability, doubt what you can do, when you find out that, you know, someone's searching for your replacement, I would imagine that would motivate just about anybody. If you have any kind of competitive bone in your body, that would motivate anybody. And that's just being realistic. So let's see what that looks like. I think they're putting them in the best position to be successful. Neighbors is you guys have been out there. Like, Neighbors is going to be an unbelievable weapon in the National Football League. They've got playmakers at the wideout spot. The offensive line was atrociously bad last year. It doesn't have to be like historically great. Like, we don't have to go to Eric Williams, Larry Allen along the Cowboys offensive line. They have to be somewhat competent. Like, just give me, like, if you're a Giant fan, all I want is competent offense.
Literally wrote the exact same thing a couple weeks ago. I wrote those words. Just give me competency. That's all I want. Yeah,
and that's with Andrew Thomas at left tackle. Yeah. Who's an unbelievable left tackle. For the other four of them, stay healthy. Yeah. They need the two tackles. Chris, I think you tweeted this out a couple weeks ago. Like, the Giants can't afford for either of their tackles to get hurt. And it's 100% correct. No. Both of them have got to stay healthy. Yeah. And be competent, work as a group, have an understanding. And if you get that, I think this Giant offense, which was, what were they, 28th, 29th in terms of scoring offense last year? Yeah. I think I read a stat the other day. They were 6.9 air yards per attempt, which was 25th in the NFL. Like, all of that will improve. All of that was a combination of the fact that the line up front couldn't hold up. And the quarterback carousel you went through, Taylor, obviously Jones, Tyrod Taylor, and then Tommy DeVito, and then back to Tyrod Taylor. So I think this year, I think it's going to look better. I think Jones will respond, and I think it's going to start on Sunday against the Vikings.
Boo, Moose, boo. I can't believe you said that. That's so bad. My God, what are you being positive for? Will you? Let's get rid of this guy, Jerry. What the hell did we get this guy on for?
We wanted negativity. Everyone's positive. Used to negativity. Got to be negative.
It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a dumpster fire. The team's going to win this game. It's going to be an embarrassment. Here comes Belichick. Like, all the things.
All the buzzwords.
Yes.
Like you said, the offensive line, we just want it to be serviceable, right? I mean, that's all we're looking for. You know what I mean? I even joked around in a Houston preseason game, Moose, during the game. I said, oh, my God, look, Illuminor just picked up a twist up front. We haven't done that in years. Yeah.
And also, what was the other one? Daniel went through his progressions for the first time in his career.
No, three right? reads. Three reads, right. I said. He actually had three reads. I don't remember Daniel ever doing that. So that's what we want, right?
That's it. No doubt. I mean, like, listen, the offensive line is going to be a key, and you know, talk about that. I also think they upgrade the coaching staff. I think the offensive line coach coming over from the Raiders was a huge upgrade for the team in the offseason. I don't think there's any question about it. And we all saw exactly, like, there was so much going against the Giants last year. And still at the end, as Chris mentioned, walking around those players, nobody quit on Daboll. So there was issues on the defensive staff, which we all came to light after the season. I'm not telling you, listen, Shane Bowen, is he as creative a defensive coordinator as Wink Martindale has accomplished in the NFL? No, nobody's going to tell you that. But I will say, and I pretty confidently say, I think it's going to be an entire coaching staff where guys are going to be asked to do their jobs. And it's going to be a coaching staff where everyone's going to be pushing in the same direction. And I think last year, I don't think you necessarily got that all the time. And I think obviously the losing came into play as well. So, but I'm excited to see if this offensive line can stay healthy. I'm excited for the offensive line not to be the talking point because, Jerry, you mentioned it before. Last time the Giants had a competent offensive line, they won a Super Bowl in 2011. We've been talking about it for 13 years. They're not winning a Super Bowl this year. I'm not making that declaration. But what I will say is I'd be happy not to talk about it, whether it be on TV, radio, podcast, and write about how bad the offensive line is.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take one more break. We'll be right back after this. Listen to the Giant Insider podcast. Hang on one second.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Mess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody gets the biz, biz Ignano, and our special guest, Moose, Mark Malusis. Rich Savner says, 12 or 14 years has been bad. Excuse those of us who expect the worst but hope for the best. No, we get
it. And look, we get that. Me and Jerry talk about this all the time. Moose even mentioned it. We get it because there's been a lot of losing around here. No question. Yeah. We get it. We were just talking about like the negativity where things really shouldn't be negative and people are just going to – like you said, Moose, we'll talk about Malik Nabers' number. And I hear people calling your radio show, the fan last week saying – oh, what is this kid entitled? He thinks he's entitled. Did you hear that one? Remember that one call? Like, I can't believe this guy's entitled. I can't believe it. Somebody was describing Malik Nabers as being entitled because the kid asked for number one.
Yeah, they're acting like when George Costanza wore the Babe Ruth jersey and rubbed like the sauce on it. Like that's guys, that's not what happened. They totally got the Flaherty's permission for this. Like I like you said, half the people who are complaining never heard of Ray Flaherty. So if anything, it just kind of brought his name back and made him relevant again. I think it's a good thing.
Well, I'm in 100% agreement. And that's where, and I get it. I like that, you know, takes on a different stance where you don't want it to set a precedent where guys are asking for retired numbers and then contacting family members. Like there's an honor to it. Like you've accomplished so much as an athlete to where they retire your number. And, you know, Nabers ran into a scenario where he couldn't wear 9. You know, that's Gano's number. He couldn't wear 8. That's Daniel Jones's number. So he asked, and Ray Flaherty's family, as long as they gave permission, I'm A-okay with it.
Right. Yeah, they did it. Who cares? Yeah.
But here's the funny thing to me that hits me is, like, all of a sudden, Dable can't coach. Like, or he's this raving lunatic, or that he doesn't get along with his coaches, or that he's tough to work. Like, all this stuff. He was the coach of the year. Like, Brian Daboll was the coach of the year. Like, he did an unbelievable job. He was the same guy that Giant fans were out there applauding as he was smoking a cigar.
Like, he was a god.
The Tennessee game. Like, he's the same guy. They were hanging on the fence, and they were celebrating like he was a conquering hero. Like, he was a gladiator returning to the Coliseum.
Right. Like that's Maximus. He was like Maximus.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, Daboll can coach. He really can. Like, Brian Daboll's a good coach.
Yeah.
And I think – listen, is some of the decisions Shane has made as general manager, do I necessarily agree with all of them? No, but I think there was an uphill battle here when he took over. He didn't take over a roster that was teeming with talent, and they had to turn over a lot of guys. Now,
Moose, real quick, I'm sorry. There's one guy left from the 2021 draft. One.
Yeah, that was the next year was Shane.
So, yeah. Okay.
No, right. And so, like, you look at this, and I understand the Giant fan is looking at the embarrassment, and it's tough. Listen, I was a Knick fan. You know, I celebrate now Thibodeau and Leon Rose and Jalen Brunson, like, but went through decades of pain after Patrick Ewing. Decades. Yeah. Like, it was embarrassing. Yeah. And I get, listen, the Giants, they won that Super Bowl in 2011, and they've gone into the abyss. But I think it's going to look a lot better, just as – there was no expectations going into year one after Joe Judge. This year, it's taken on to the opposite where it's all negative. This is going to be a disaster. There's going to be change again because that's what Giant fans have seen as of late, that there's been massive change. I don't think that's happening. And I do think this coaching staff, led by the head coach, now calling plays, it's going to look a hell of a lot better in year three than it did in year two. I'm not telling you that they're going to be playing meaningful games weeks, you know, final week of the season or a meaningful game final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season.
Right.
I think, though, they're going to surprise early. I think they're beating Minnesota on Sunday. I think they can beat Washington. Like, there are things that you can go through here early on. There are games on that schedule that I don't think the Giants can potentially win. Can they go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks? Yeah, I think they can beat the Seahawks. Like, I think it's going to look a lot better this year.
Yeah. I think you could definitely look a lot better. Like I said, I think Sunday they're coming out and they're winning this, you know, this 100-year anniversary, the legends in the building, all that stuff. I think they're going to come out and get this win Sunday too. As far as Dable, like I said, Moose, unfortunately, that 2022 playoff run might have been the worst damn thing that happened. Okay.
It's a good because point.
The expectations were they were very, very high last year, and we all know what happened. And now all of a sudden went from like you said, Maximus returning to the Coliseum to the guy can't coach. You know what I mean? So
right now he's the town idiot.
Now he's a town idiot.
Yeah, right. So that's not fair either. And I don't think that's, but I get the fear of the Giant fan. I think you have to, I know it's difficult. I think you got to trust. I think you got to trust the fact of the experience of Daboll and his journey here, the opportunity that he has going into year number three. I think you got to trust Shane. I think the coaching staff, and some of the decisions. But I get where the Giant fan is. It's more comfortable to lean into the negative because that's where you've been for quite some time. It's been all negative. It's been, the bright spot has been Tommy DeVito. last year or a couple years ago when Daniel Jones surprised everybody, but more often than not, it's the Joe Judge presser after the Bear game. It's Joe Judge, what they were doing offensively against Washington, that final, it's just like that kind of stuff. And you're saying to yourself, what are we doing here as an organization?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to look anything close to that this year for the Giants.
No, I agree with you, Moose.
What are your thoughts on Shane, Bruce? The job he's doing?
Yeah, I think I think after year one, I think he made the right call. I think the quarterback's the most important position. I think you had to pay. I think Daniel Jones put him into a position where they had to pay him. Would it have been better off if they franchise tagged Daniel Jones? In the end, we'd be looking at a situation here where the Giants maybe have not have been able to get their quarterback this past spring in the NFL draft. But I think Shane early on here, some of the decisions, I don't think his drafts have been off the charts great. Neil has been a disastrous pick. Let's be honest. And that was a guy that you thought was going to anchor the right tackle position for your organization for the last 10 to 12 years. That's a bad one. That's a bad miss. That's a bad miss with a top seven pick. That's a bad miss. Okay. With that, I do like the fact of what they did this off season. I've said it, I'll say with you guys, I've said it on TV, said it on radio. I think going after and finally addressing the offensive line, making the deal for Burns, bringing in a playmaker like Malik Nabers. I like the direction of where this organization is going.
Right.
The whole idea of, all right, well, the Giants did their homework on all the quarterbacks. They did. They didn't think outside the top three quarterbacks, there was nobody else they would take with the sixth overall pick.
Right.
They would have taken Jaden Daniels. They would have taken Drake May. They would have taken Caleb Williams.
Right.
Outside of those top three, they were not drafting any of the others in the top six. So what do bad teams do? They'll compound the problem and draft a quarterback because they need a quarterback. They didn't. They took what they believed to be right there as being the number one wide receiver in the draft in Nabers.
Right.
So that to me is smart. You did not cave to the pressure. You still have Jones. We'll see how this year plays out. And if it ends up being a really bad year, you'll be in the position to go out there and get a quarterback next spring in the NFL draft. But we'll see how this season plays out. Neil is a bad one, though. Let's be honest.
That's a bad miss.
That's a bad miss.
Yeah. I'm highlighting some comments because, we all thought Neil was going to be, but you have to be better than that. Like, it is what it is. Yes, yeah. Everyone thought Neil was going to go top 10. When they took him at seven, it was no surprise, but you kind of have your job is to kind of see that he's not as good as everybody thinks, right? I mean, that's why you're a GM. That it is what it is. Neil at seven was a complete miss at this point.
Yeah. I mean, when people are debating about moving him inside to guard, and right. Is that going to be the option when you draft a guy to be your tackle, your starting right tackle? That's a bad one. I mean, it just is. Listen, that's you could look at it and say, well, they didn't overdraft. They didn't take a guy that was supposed to be a second round draft choice and draft him
overall.
They didn't do what Al Davis used to do with the Raiders, right? Everyone expected Evan Neal to be a top 10 pick, but Jerry said it best at your job as an organization is to figure out who's going to hit, who's going to miss, who you're going to like. I think the Giants are stunned that Neil has been as bad as he has been. Like, I think they're really surprised and stunned that he has been this bad when healthy.
It wasn't a Kadarius Toney pick, Moose. That was the pick that was like, whoa, what? Yeah. So we also did that as well. So
And like you said, Moose, I like that Joe Shane has the toughness. He doesn't fold. Like, he could have folded with Barkley, all the pressure, bringing him back. He was going on a certain number. That was it. You saw it in Hard Knocks, basically telling John, I know you're going to lose sleep tonight, but get ready because you're going to lose sleep. He ain't coming back yet. You read between the lines, you could see what Joe was. He was not paying Barkley what he wanted. Okay, that wasn't happening. Look, Moose, as you know, a lot of time egos get involved in this. Hey, he's my 7th overall pick. When Evan comes back, he's at right tackle. Well, guess what? They go out and they sign Jermaine Illuminor. And from the day one of training camp, OTA's Illuminor was playing guard. Camp came? No, he's our right tackle. He is our right tackle. And it wouldn't even matter, okay? Neil comes back a couple weeks into camp. He starts to ramp up slowly, but Illuminor is their guy, okay? An Eagle could have jumped in there and you know, Joe telling Dave's, hey, no, we want him back out there. Put him back. You know what I mean? They didn't. So I give Joe credit for that too. Like you said, Moose, can't miss on a 7th overall pick. He did. He can't miss it. That's a huge, huge miss.
No, that is, especially in a position, especially along the offensive line. The Giants as an organization, whether it be Reese, Gettleman, or Shane, they've invested a lot of top 3-4 rounds in the NFL draft on offensive linemen. And it hasn't worked out, I think, the most in the NFL. They've spent a lot of draft collateral on picks. So Neil was a miss. I think, Chris, I think that's an excellent point about the ego of Joe Shane, because I think there's a lot of general managers that say, no, you know, I got to be right. Like, he's going to be our starting right tackle. I think that says a lot about, I think Shane's adapting here. You know, I think, you know, you saw a little bit of it last week when he gets asked the question and talks about expectations from when Mara's at the Hackensack University Medical Center unveiling that mural for the Giants' 100th year and, you know, talked about look better. Listen, Shane, you know, could he have answered that question? For sure. Do I like the fact that he showed a little bit of anger? Or, yeah, I do. I mean, honestly, they're there to win games. Like, this is – but you're not going to get a general manager. Maybe the Jets will. I mean, the Jets will tell you how great they are, right? But you're not going to get a general manager. And I think the Jets are really talented this year, but they like to tell you how talented they are. But I don't think you're going to get a general manager go out there and especially when you are in this kind of a season, never going to paint himself into a corner and tell you, I expect 7 wins. I expect 8 wins. I expect 9 wins. You say, if he goes, well, listen, I expect to win 7 games. Well, why don't you expect to win 8? Why don't you expect to win 9? What's the, like, you're not going to do that. They're going to just give you the kind of carte blanche answer that he gives you.
He's a smart dude, Moose. Joe is, he's a smart dude, man. Both of them, him and Dave's, you know. I know Joe comes, you know, he's got that old boy look, a little bit with the hair to the side, a little bit of that Tom Cruise look. But I tell you what, man, I've been telling Jerry this for years. Don't mistake kindness for weakness with Joe Shane. He's a tough guy, man. He'll make his point. And you saw a little bit of that when Mara kept coming in his office.
Yeah.
And he kept hinting about Barkley and then Daniel and all that stuff. And when Joe made it known to John that, you know, we're going to be going quarterback and all that stuff. Oh, are we sure? Yeah. You know, all that. And look, he's the owner of the team. And people were under the perception that John Mara runs the draft. And I've been saying it for years. John Mara lets his guys do their thing. Okay. You saw it in Hard Knocks. And Joe, look, that Barkley thing, John Mara wanted to keep Saquon Barkley. If Joe would have said, hey, John, we'll give him $15 million a year, John would be like, great, great. But that's not Joe's philosophy. He was going a certain number. He doesn't want to build through running backs. We all know what happened, you know. So,
well, that does a couple of things. Number one, shows you the control that Shane has in the organization. Two, ends the dopey narrative about John being this, you know, Jerry Jones-esque or type of interferer as an owner, where it's his way or the highway when it comes to player personnel decisions.
So idiotic.
Yeah, it's just not reality. But it's unfortunately people want to believe what they want to believe. And that's what happens when losing happens, right? So when losing festers, this is, you didn't hear about it when the Giants were winning in 07, didn't hear about when the Giants were winning in 2011. You hear about it now. And you hear about it now because the Giants have done a lot of losing over the last decade plus. And they've not been a proud, representable, you know, cornerstone NFL franchise from a results perspective. And that comes along with the territory, those kind of storylines, which is unfortunate, but I don't disagree with you. I think Shane, you know, comes across, I'm not like, he's got a lot of different layers to him, but I think you said it best, Chris, when you said, don't mistake kindness for weakness. I think he makes, when he needs to make the tough call, he's going to make the tough call.
Absolutely. He brought up a good point before, Moose, when you said, it's not like the Giants have ignored the offensive line. That's what we've been saying for years, man. Jerry Reese drafted Eric Flowers and Weston Richburg in the first two rounds. Just haven't been good at it. I mean, just miss after miss.
Oh,
and didn't seem matter. Other than Andrew Thomas, he was the one that they nailed. And that was the one that was, I think at the time, not the most questionable. It was like, oh, Tristan Wirfs is sitting there. Like, there's a couple other guys you might want to take. Mekhi Becton, they took Thomas, and that one worked out beautifully. I mean, he's one of the best left tackles in football. But yeah, everybody says they have ignored.
That frigging Gettleman was great.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Dave Gettleman was awesome. Anyway,
you know what, Moose? All kidding aside, man. You know, I'm making it, but give Dave credit. He did draft two cornerstones of his franchise, too, right?
With Dexter, you're not wrong. Thomas is great. You're right, Dexter. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and you're, Jerry, you're right. When you go back to that draft, there was a lot of debate about who the Giants were to take, and it was not wholeheartedly celebrated when they drafted Andrew Thomas. Yeah. That was going to work. You know, when Wirfs ended up being a guy drafted late, plugging in, playing right tackle for the Buccaneers, right, going and played, and he's been, I mean, Tristan Wirfs has been an unbelievable. And I do think, you know, he's been an unbelievable tackle. Thomas has earned it, you know, and there were naysayers early with Andrew Thomas. Remember, he didn't get off this unbelievable start to his Giant career. Yeah. He is an unbelievable left tackle. And somewhere, wherever Gettleman might be, maybe he's up, you know, up in Cape Cod, wherever Gettleman is right now, he's smiling, looking at those two guys. There are not a lot of hits for Gettleman, but those are a couple.
No, a lot of bad stuff. You know, I like to be a realist too. And guys deserve credit. They deserve credit. And he did draft Dex and Andrew Thomas. That's all I'm saying before people want to kill me. All I'm saying is that he did draft those two guys, as we know. Now he did a lot of bad things too. So Moose, go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry. Yeah, but
no, to me, this season feels like, look, and I hate to make these comparisons all the time, but it feels a lot like 1984 in that you have a coach that's kind of going to do things his way. You got a quarterback that no one believes in who's in year six. Now, maybe some of this is wishful thinking, but it just, there's some similarities to that. I was just going to ask you, Moose, like, where do you see this team ultimately finishing this year?
There it is. I was just going to ask that. Give me a prediction.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
I think they finish third in the division. I think they finish third. I'm a little interested to see what, I like Philadelphia. I do. Like we were talking about Barkley before. I think there's going to be painful days watching Saquon in Philadelphia for the Giants. I think there's going to be, their offensive line, not nearly as good. But I think Sirianni learned from his failures last year. And I do think, all the things that went wrong for Philly, the final, you know, 6-8 weeks of the regular season last year, I think they've rectified. I like the trade they made with Washington to go get Dotson. I think Barkley's going to run the ball well. I got to be honest with you. Like, I look at Dallas, like, I don't know what to make of the Cowboys. Like, I really don't. No idea. I think they take a little bit of a step back when you look at their defense, because I think that defense was built to be a Dan Quinn defense, not a Mike Zimmer defense. So that's a little bit of an issue. Their offensive line's not nearly what it once was. Dak's got a prove it year. He's looking for a contract after the season. I love CeeDee Lamb as a playmaker. A lot of old guys. Look at their running back room. You got Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook. Like, what do you make of the Dallas Cowboys this year? I'm interested to see, like, and Jerry Jones is talking about how much time he has left on God's green earth and that the clock is ticking and he hasn't won in a while and all these things that you get in these strange comments. Very entertaining, but strange comments. I do end up thinking they finish second in the division. I think Daniels is going to prove to be a player down in Washington. I do think that there's probably going to be a learning curve with him. down in Washington. He was an unbelievable runner at LSU. If you look at his game film, he didn't throw well when he was on the run. Like, when he runs, he runs. Man. He doesn't run to extend the play. He's not the biggest guy, you know, slight of build. He loves football. I think he's gonna be a really good quarterback, but I think he's gonna learn, obviously, in the National Football League. I think the Giants are gonna be really well coached. I like the comparison to 84. I think Daboll is kind of circling the wagons after everything got off track a year ago. Offensive line better. I think they can finish third in the division.
How many wins, Moose?
Yeah.
I'd put it 7 to 9 wins on the season.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like that. Yep, that's where I'm at. I think Jerry's at the same spot.
The difference. I'll tell you, I think they go 8 and 9. You know, could they go 7 and 10 on the year? Yeah, I mean, I think the high water mark is going 9 and 8.
You know, 8 and 9 likely means they're playing meaningful football in week 17.
Yes. So I think John Mara would sign up for that I think if we asked him right now, hey, you know, final 2 weeks of the regular season, Giants playing meaningful football, would you take it? I think he undoubtedly would say yes.
I agree.
So Moose, before we let you go, first of all, again, thank you, my man, for giving us some time.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I was a little late.
No, thank you, Moose. I know you're busy, man. You're a busy dude. Moose, the Moose nickname, is that for Beningo?
Yes. So, like, I was working an overnight, filling in for, I think it was Dave Corzine was his producer at the time. He ended up becoming, I think, a fireman in the city before Ray Martell became his overnight producer. I was filling in on overnight, we were at the Kaufman Astoria Studios. We were down below level, right? That's where those studios were. He was in a back studio watching, I think, the Knick or Ranger game on like a 13-inch TV, eating Chinese food. And he goes, oh, Melusis. He goes, what's that, Greek? I go, no, it's Lithuanian. Lithuanian. He goes, oh. He goes, I'm going to call you Moose. Is that all right? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to call me. It's, you know, Joe Beningo. Like, I love the guy. Like, he's great. Like, a legend, right?
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. So he started calling me Moose. Oh, okay. And then Summer started calling me Moose. And then Russo started busting my balls calling me Moose.
I was curious.
It was all Joe Beningo. And if you go back to, like, if you go all the way back to, like, August of 2000.
And now I have to tell you, Moose, that now that I just found out you're not Greek, my wife is going to be very disappointed because she is Greek. She knows about you. She knows your name. She says, oh, he's Greek. He's Greek, you know. And Greeks are very proud to know all the Greeks and all that stuff. So now I'm going to tell her, guess what? He's not Greek.
Well, yes. You want to hear a funny story, Chris and Jerry? Yeah. I'll tell you a quick funny story.
So yeah, I know you got to run. Go ahead, bud.
When I was working at the Fan, I was producing Chris and Mike. I got a letter. I can't remember the school offhand, but it was a Greek school, like an all like Greek school in in New York City. They're like, we'd love you to come and be our guest of honor at our school. I got this wonderful letter, right? Fantastic. Like, you know, we appreciate everything you're doing. You know, you do an unbelievable job with Mike and Chris, and it was from like the superintendent or whatever. I'm like, unbelievable, right? So we're talking about a different era. This is not smartphones, right? So I got the letter in my mailbox, and I call the guy up. I'm like, oh, this is great. We'd love to have you out this day. You know, I'm like, yeah. He goes, you'll be speaking to the school in front of assembly. I'm like, fantastic. I go, he goes, we'd love to honor everyone that, you know, has Greek heritage. And I was like, well, let me just, he goes, I'd love to come out. I just want to let you know I'm not Greek.
Oh my God.
And then he goes, you're not. He goes, I hope you're not insulted, but we only bring people out to speak to the school who are of Greek origin. I'm like, no, I get it. I just want to let you know.
Yeah,
I want to
let you know.
I'm Lithuanian, Polish, and German. I'm not Greek.
That's great.
I was like, we'll pass. We'll move.
Well, Moose, I don't know if I have the heart to tell my wife in a few minutes that you're not Greek because everybody thinks you're Greek with that name. You know what I mean?
I wonder how many people would have still gone, right? And just said, okay, I'll go. You know?
Yeah, right. It's so exactly. Funny, man. I probably were. I just felt bad because he started talking about it. He's like, we love to honor people with Greek heritage and, you know, we have a long history. I'm like, yeah. And then at the end, I was like, I gotta let you know. And this thing, I'm, I love Greek food. I have a lot of Greek friends. Like, Greek people are amazing. I'm not Greek, though.
Too funny, man. Good stuff.
That's
awesome.
Freaking great. That's a great story, bro.
Nice.
All right, Moose, before we let you go, I'm a huge baseball fan. You probably know. You follow all that stuff. Yeah. Yes, I'm a diehard Sox fan living here in New York. You know, now I'm in Jersey, but, you know, grew up in New York. So I got to ask you, Yankees, are they a World Series team? Yes or no?
I think they get there because I don't think the American League is great. I think I think they get through it. If Cole is great, back into the bullpen is going to be an issue. Defense obviously is going to be an issue. I don't think there's a great team in the American League. I think they finally exercise the ghost of the Astros and get to the World Series. I'm not sure they win it, but I think they're going to get there. I think they're, and they haven't been to the World Series since 2009. Like we were talking about. I mean, the last time the Yankees won the World Series was 2009. They've only been to one. They've been to three since, you know, 2000. They've been, you know, 01, they lose to Arizona. 03, they lose to the Marlins. 09, they beat the Phillies. But since 09, they haven't gone through the American League, no less win the World Series. I think they get through the AL this year, though.
Right. Moose, I think that you're sleeping a little bit on that team that's pretty hot out in the West, the Houston Astros. I don't know.
I understand.
You see the way anytime, they're playing, right?
I'm like Cashman, though, Chris. Anytime I say the Astros, the hair on the back of the neck stands up. I get
offended. I hate to burst your bubble, buddy, but have you looked what they've been doing the last month?
Yeah, the Astros love to beat the Yankees. They show up and they beat them. It doesn't matter who pitches. It doesn't matter who's in the lineup. It doesn't matter anything. They just show up and beat you. So I get it. That's going to be a difficult matchup in the American League, no doubt.
I'm just saying because, Moose, I'm just saying because the first few months look like the Astros weren't going to do, and now here they are.
But Chris, as a longtime Sox fan, how hard will you be rooting for the Astros in that series? If it's Yankees.
Oh, I'll root for the Indians. The Guardians, whatever the hell they're called now. I'll root for the Guardians as long as they beat the Yankees. You know that, bro. It don't matter to me. Are you kidding? The Astros? I love the Astros already. They beat the crap out of the Yankees every damn year.
Yeah, are you kidding?
I'm just going to tell you this now, Moose. I'm going to tell you this now.
Let me
enjoy the Red Sox getting beat up a little bit. They're hovering around 500 now. They're probably going to finish under and all that crap. But enjoy it because in a few years, buddy, just watch out. That's all I'm going to tell you. Now you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I'm just telling you.
No.
They got these rosters, Moose. They got a lot of young talent.
They do.
Got three more kids coming up. Get ready. That's all
I understand. I can't stand the Red Sox. I gotta be honest.
That's okay, Moose. We'll have a few beers, a few drinks one night. We'll talk about how you're not really Greek, and we'll talk a little Red Sox Yankee baseball.
But yeah, one more. More importantly, where are the Rangers finishing and what's going to happen with them?
He thinks they're going to the Cup. You heard him.
Well, I hope they win. It's got to be this year. I'm concerned, Jerry, where they are. First off, salary cap wise, what they wanted to do. I said at the time, I mean, Drury really did next to nothing after what we witnessed last year. I don't blame Trouba for not wanting to get moved, right? His wife just had a baby. She's doing, you know, she's in the medical field. She's got one. He doesn't want to leave. I get it. And he has every right. And he didn't want to get moved, so he didn't get traded. I worry about the age on defense, some of the injuries. I worry about them getting pushed around in some of these series. I like the fact that Lafreniere stepped up this past year.
Yeah,
would love to see. I mean, it was fantastic. You need him to take another step forward this year. You'd also need Kaapo Kakko. And it'd be nice at some point in time. We've been hearing about Brendan Hoffman for the better part of 2 years. It'd be nice to see Hoffman get more than just a cup of coffee with the Rangers on the NHL level. I'm a little concerned. I think they're going to be right there, just like they were this past year. But here, the road's going to get a little bit more difficult because when Shesterkin's number gets to 13, 14 million a year, because that's where the window is. Like, you talk about Ranger fans, oh, we got close, won the President's Trophy, lost the tough series, we'll go get him next year. No, that's another year out that you're clicking off the window here before you have to pay him an astronomical amount of money. And I'm not saying it doesn't well deserve. It's well deserved, but so the window's starting to close here on the Rangers. Yeah, I think they're going to be one of the teams in the Eastern Conference. I think they can win the Cup. I thought they were going to win the Cup this past year.
So did I.
So it was. I was unbelievably crushed after that season came to an end.
But I went to game. I went to game one against Florida, and I said they're not going to win this series.
Foley.
See, I know Chris. I know Chris said Florida
told
from the start.
You not beating
Florida.
The effing Panthers. Who told you?
But watching them live, you saw how beat up they were. When they went up 2-1, they were lucky to win game three. They had to win that fourth game. And once they didn't, when it went to overtime and they lost that, when it went to 2-2, I said, this series is over now officially. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah,
they're one of the teams, but, you know.
Florida kicked their rear end.
Yeah, they really did.
Moose, my man. Thank you again. We'll let you go. Yeah, I know you got your draft in 15 minutes. You got your kids coming down, you know, all that stuff. So, hey, by the way, your kids are adorable, man. They look like hockey players, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Raising them the right way, too.
We started hockey. Gregory had his first practice tonight, so they all get going this week. But I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I love what you guys do.
Pleasure. Thanks again.
Job. You got it.
Thank you, man. We'll talk soon. Thank you, my man. See you soon.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. That was Mark Malusis from WFAN and Channel 11. Good stuff there, talking Giants football with him, Jerry.
Really was. It was awesome. All right, so before we get to the top, the next 10 and the top 10 and the picks, I just want to call out John again, Toronto, dude. Did this a while ago.
John, $50, thank
dude. I mean, let's get the season started right. A nice cigar for Chris and a little pizza at DiLorenzo's for Jerry.
Thank you, John.
Andy Robustelli was number 10. Yes, he was.
John, it's Giants. Insane how much money, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Really appreciate it.
And another one from JJan, $1.99.
Thank you, man.
I mean,
thank you. JJan, thank you, 300. Thank you very much.
I think really you're right too, Jay. I think so too. I think if they could start off, like, I don't want to go too far ahead, but you start off 2-0, that's how you gain confidence. And it's funny, I'm looking at the schedule. I do the same thing every year. I'm an idiot. I look at the schedule, I'm like, win, 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 win. We can be, I said the exact same thing. Malusa said they can win in Seattle 5-0. I mean, you know, it's not gonna happen, but you just start doing that stupid crap. So, but anyway, all right. Let's get to the top 10 real quick. No surprises. It's on the ticket that they give you. Andy Robustelli at 10, yeah. Sam Huff at 9,
oof.
Eli Manning at 8, Harry Carson at 7. I had those two exactly right. Awesome. Manning and Carson at 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Emlyn Tennell at 6.
Good. Well-deserved top 10.
Strahan at 5.
Wow.
Gifford at 4.
The Giffer, huh? Number 4.
And now you're getting to Mount Rushmore. Mel Hine at 3. Honoring the past. Giants do it great. Nice job there. Mel Hine at 3.
Yep.
Roosevelt Brown at 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosie Brown, right? And of course, LT number 1.
I mean, come on.
The Mount. Yeah, there you go. Yep. The Mount Rushmore, baby.
Get out of here. LT, of course. Yep. Good stuff. All right. You want to do pick time?
How about Strahan, number 5, huh? Wow.
I had him a little higher, but yes.
I wouldn't think he would be 5. I would have him if I did it. I really didn't do it, Jerry. You know what I mean? I thought, I thought he may, but hey, listen,
you can argue all those. Absolutely.
Quite an honor. Yeah. Yeah. No question.
But I had Strahan at 3. Okay. I had Manning and Carson at 8 and 7. So, yeah.
There you go.
The rest of them.
Good job. You should have done that panel.
I know. I'm surprised they didn't ask. They had Huff at 9. I had Sims instead, but I had Sims at 10. I had Robustelli at 9. They had Robustelli at 10. So, you know, somewhat close.
There you go. You're right there. Yep.
Yeah, right there. All right. NFL Week 1. I had this up before. Are you ready?
Yeah.
0-0. This is the best time of year for me.
Chris,
before we do this,
Richard Sevens, Chris, you said there was a dispute for one a few weeks ago. What does that mean?
No. I think what Papa said, one wasn't that easy.
Wasn't as easy as you thought. Is that what it was?
Right.
Okay. That's I didn't say that. Yeah.
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 And we were pretty, from the start, we're like, man, that's
unanimous. Yeah.
Before we do the picks, do you want to talk about DiLorenzo's real quick?
Oh, no, we'll finish it up with that. Let's do the picks. Okay, we'll do the Giant game, and then we'll finish up my DiLorenzo experience.
All right, cool. Number one, Thursday night, Ravens at Chiefs. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game for the Ravens to win. Derrick Henry. I'll start off the first game with an 0-1. I'm going Ravens. I don't care. What the hell? I'm going Ravens.
Right.
Too much feel good about the
They lost the to the Lions last year, that Thursday night game. Go ahead.
Friday night in Brazil, Packers at Eagles. Everyone's going to be watching this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to go Barkley probably gets about 160.
just to hurt. 160 rushing, 70 receiving, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I'm going to go with the Packers, Eagles, uncomfortable traveling. like the Packers wouldn't be. Yeah, I'm going Packers. All right, here we go. Panthers at Saints, 1 o'clock Sunday.
I'll go Saints. Yeah.
Patriots at Bengals. This could be a
Cincy.
Murderous Bengals. Steelers at Falcons.
Atlanta.
Yeah, week one surprise. I'm going to Atlanta as well at home. Texans at Colts. This should be a good game.
Should be a good AFC South game. I'll go with Stroud and the Texans.
Texans on the road, me too. Cardinals at Bills. I'll go Bills at home.
Yeah, me too.
Titans at Bears. Exciting team this year, the Bears. I'm going Bears at home.
I agree. I'm with you.
Lots of excitement around that team, dude.
It should be, yeah.
Jags at Dolphins.
I'll go with Miami.
Same at home. Broncos at Seahawks.
The rookie's going, right? I'm going to go with Seattle at home.
Yeah, yeah, tough place. I'll go Seahawks as well. Excuse me. Raiders at Chargers. Harbaugh's first. Yeah. Antonio Pierce. I'm going to go Raiders on the road.
I'll go with Harbaugh and Justin Herbert at home.
Oh, that's a good one. Cowboys at Browns, 425. That's a good game.
Yeah, right? I'm going to go with Cleveland at home.
Dude, he said it, man. Cowboys are going to be interesting. I don't know what the hell to make of them. I'll go Cleveland at home as well just because I'm rooting for them. Commanders at Bucks. Bucks at home.
I'm going to go with an upset. Commanders.
All right. Sunday, 8:20. Rams at Lions.
I'll go with the another upset. No. I'm going to go with the Lions at home.
Me too. But did you see Jared Goff has like, I don't know, like 14 out of 17 games are in a dome or something stupid. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'll go Lions at home. This is a good one, dude. Monday night, Jets at 49ers. That's going to be a great game.
I'll go first.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going with Jets.
I think the Jets are going to come in. And not only win, I think they're going to whip up the Niners.
I'm with you. Yeah. I like them. And no, you're not crazy for having the Jets go to the conference game, by the way, based on your ex.
Thank you. Post. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're good. I think they're that good.
If Rodgers stays healthy.
It's amazing how good you think they are, right? And they botched the Hassan Reddick thing so badly.
Yeah. That's typical Jets, man. Right. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but I still think they're deep enough. They still got guys to get to the quarterback. I love their linebackers. Same. I love their secondary. The offensive line looks like it's improved. And Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, man, he's still Aaron Rodgers. I don't care what you say. He's still going to be really good.
Yep.
So, and Garrett Wilson's one of the best. So I like that Jet team. We'll see what happens. But it's the Jets, Jerry, right? Something's got to happen.
You would think.
It is the Jets. Something has to happen.
All right, Are we last one,
the Giants?
Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Sunday. Vikings at Giants. Who do you got?
All right.
And what's the score? What's the score?
Okay, so I'm looking at it. 100-year legends in the building. I text Bavaro the other day. He said he's going. Guys coming from all over. Jerry, look, I'm not Sam Darnold against the Giants. I have it like this. Mm-hmm. I think the Giants are going to whip them.
Wow.
You hear me? Mm-hmm. Whip them. Right. I have the Giants with a 28-13 win. I have somebody, I'm going to go with Tate Banks with a pick six. They're going to get a couple of turnovers. I think Daniel does enough, plays well. I think the defense is going to be all over Sam Darnold. Now they have a lot of receivers. Probably the best in the game. And we
don't know
about
I still don't know if Addison's playing, right?
Why isn't he?
There's a questionable because something about suspension. Every site has him as questionable. I don't know if he had an injury. Every site.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I don't know. It's just every site has Q next to his name.
Well, I'm sure they'll have the injury report tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I think the Giants force Sam Darnold into mistakes.
Yeah.
And I like the Giants. I just think they'll be fired up. I think it's their day.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with the Giants in a pretty convincing win.
Yeah.
Like a 28-13 or like John just put up there, like a 27-17 type game.
Yeah.
I think Burns has a strip sack.
All right.
And I think somebody comes up with a pick six.
And I like the Giants this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going 24-10 Giants.
Another whipping.
Yeah, that the defense does a nice job, and I'm not afraid of Sam Darnold. This is still the same guy. I mean, I looked at that Vikings roster. I can't believe they're a 1.5 favorite. I don't know anything about betting. I'm terrible at it. But I look at that roster, and I'm just, okay, other than the receiving weapons he has, and Hawkinson's not playing, I'm just like,
yeah, it's a big loss.
What the hell am I missing here? Like, I mean, you look at their defense. Who's going to get after you? Yeah, Brian Flores is a good defensive coordinator. But I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. 24-10 Giants, start off the season the right way, honoring the 100-year anniversary, all the legends in attendance. Should be a great time if you are going to that game. So,
yeah, it should be. So that's me and Jerry have the Giants beating up on the Vikes a little bit for the opener. So hopefully we're right. So,
yeah.
So Jerry, to finish up tonight's podcast.
Real quick. Giants Carb Crush just texted me. Addison, ankle issue from 3 weeks ago. He did practice today. He's a go, but there was a suspension late in the season Wow, Chris, a fountain of information, buddy. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so also the Vikes came out an injury report today? Okay. We'll find out.
Whatever. All right. He said he's a go. He practiced. All right.
Oh, he practiced. Yeah, Addison. Yeah. I didn't hear anything about him being suspended at the beginning of the season, so he looks like he's a go Sunday. So Jerry... Yes. You've been telling me about your place. I know you worked there, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Years ago?
Yeah.
In Trenton? Yeah. Was it in Trenton, yep. Jerry?
Yeah, there were two of them in Trenton. They're the all from the same Trenton, family. Right? Yes. Right. Yes.
So what happened was De Lorenzo's Pizza. So Jerry's been telling me about try it out there for years. He's been telling me, go try it out, which is, Jerry, basically like 10 minutes from your house, right? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So I said, I was thinking of a pizza place the other day, and I said, you know, I told the wife, and I said, you know what? Jerry's been talking about De Lorenzo's. We got to try this place. It's a half hour from my house. Let's take the ride. So as I'm thinking about it, right, Jerry, I'm on Twitter, and something comes across, and I'm sorry. I'm on a website that I get through an email from a Jersey website through an email. And what comes across my email is top-rated New Jersey pizzerias by Dave Portnoy.
Yep. Yeah.
And he has De Lorenzo's number one, right? Yeah. 9.4. What the hell he gave it, right?
Yeah.
I said, that's it. We got to do it. I told my wife, I said, listen, we are going to De Lorenzo's Saturday. Everybody's ready. I said, Jerry's been telling me about this place for friggin' years. Everybody raves about it. We got to go. Now, enough. We're going. Yeah. That's what I text you, Jerry, last week. I said, dude, tables and apple? I wasn't quite sure of the.
Yeah.
Layout, and then you said, "Yeah, plenty of tables." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I went there Saturday, and it comes out. Blah blah blah. Me, I took my two sons, and Jerry, we sucked that pizza down like it was crack. Okay.
Yeah, it was like nothing. Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel, but we had one pie was half sausage. I thought the sausage was insane good. Okay.
There's only certain sausages on pizza I get, and that area of tomato pie is one of them.
Okay, well, I'm with you. Sausages could be a hit and miss with certain places.
Totally. Yeah, some of it's horrible.
So it was insane.
Yeah.
So we're eating it, and I sat there. I said to my wife, I said, now I know what the hell Jerry's been talking about all these years. Absolute great place. I came out and made the video. I said, okay, Jerry, good call. Portnoy, now I get it.
Yeah.
So your place, dude, I have it up there in my top three all time. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I've been around a long time. I still got, you know, the original L&B in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's still there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good it is anymore, but that was
the upside down one they call it. That's great. I've been there.
That was always up there.
Yeah.
There's a place called Danino's on Staten Island that's always up there.
Yep, I've heard of that.
I put your guys right up there.
Is Danino's the one with the clam pizza that everybody talks about?
They have clam pizza, but I never got that. I'm not sure if it's great. I don't know, but their pizza's been good for a long time. Yep. So I have it right up there, bro, with those guys.
Yeah.
That's how good it was. We can't wait to go back. Jerry, you, dude, living being like 10 minutes, you must be ordering that friggin' pizza twice a week.
Well, so that's there, but there's also in that same complex, Brooklyn connection, is Dolce and Clemente. That place is really good ridiculous. It's an Italian market. Italian Market.
Okay.
And that's been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. And they have this bruschetta bread that is just, it's absurdly good. Wow. So you have a complex in Robbinsville with those two things there. It's like,
wow.
If you live there, you probably don't leave.
Well, that's a good problem to have. You know, yeah, that's a good problem totally. To have. So, Jerry, DiLorenzo's off the charts. Good.
Yeah.
Off the frigging charts, bro. Yep. Can't wait to go back. It was so frigging hot when they came out, Jerry. Me and the wife burnt the roof. because it looked so damn good. And I was just like a gavoon. And I burnt the roof of my mouth. Immediately, we both did. We're like, "Oh shit, I gotta slow down here."
Now you didn't think that was burnt, right? Because people say it's burnt, and that it's
you know what's weird, Jerry. It's like it's made well, but not burnt, right?
Right, right.
Like I've had burnt pieces, like, "Oh, this is shit," you know.
Right.
It's made well in the bottom, but not the key. Burnt. That's the key.
Right. The edge can be burnt, but the bottom can't. That's
right,
the key.
Right. But that's the key. It's not burnt. But meanwhile, it's made well, as you know what I'm talking about.
Richie M, I'd weigh 300 pounds.
Yeah, Richie M, I don't know where you live, dude, but I'm a half mile from the joint. Yeah. It was freaking good. We'll be going back there numerous freaking times, Jerry, to get dealing with. As a matter of fact, Jerry, over here where I am in Huntington County, I don't even want to eat any other pizza anymore. I got to be honest with you. I got a couple of decent places by me, you know, Jerry, we eat it. But after that, I don't even want to eat anything else by me. I just want DiLorenzo's now, bro.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's how good it was. A good recommendation, Jerry. Not that I doubted you, but.
Yeah, no, I get it. New York is pizza. You think of pizza.
Well, Jersey's great pizza too, man.
But the Trenton tomato pie, and there's another place, Classico's, that's awesome as well. That's in West Windsor. The Trenton tomato pie, it's just, the Trenton doesn't do much well. The pizza, they did very well. So there you go.
Okay, well, that tomato pie, and then my other pie was half sausage, half pepperoni.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, Jerry, that sausage
is phenomenal.
Sing.
Yeah, I'm particular with I only order sausage pizza from a few places. My area
I'm
is
the same way. Right. So, matter of fact, the wife, I said to the wife, I said, if it's just me and you next time, we just get one sausage pie.
Yep.
And we're good to go. So, excellent. Excellent, dude. Excellent.
Good stuff, man.
Oh. So, very good. So, all right, so we'll come back. I guess we'll come back Monday. We'll try to get a tie, time I should say.
Yeah.
And recap the Giant win over the Vikings. And everybody enjoy the Giant game Sunday.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, and absolutely, man.
We're ready to roll. Season's here. Ready to roll.
Good stuff, dude. All right, man. Guys, have fun if you're going to the game. If you're not, have fun watching it. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.